Sunshine daydream over JPM Healthcare Confab as SF remembers Bob Weir. The annual JP Morgan Healthcare Conference brought over 9,000 attendees plus thousands more outside the conference. And the first slide that Jeremy Milman, global head of healthcare at JP Morgan, presented at the kickoff early Monday morning was the sunny forecast for the week. After years of horrifically wet weather during the conference, dealmakers and healthcare execs enjoyed sunshine and perfect temperatures in a very packed city, where dealmakers jostled for tables at Blue Bottle and driverless Waymos shuttled execs around town. The conference brought in 525 companies to present, representing $9.9 trillion in market cap, according to JP Morgan. In 1983, when the conference started, under the rubric of the then Hambrecht and Quest, there were 21 companies and under 100 attendees representing a combined market cap of $4 billion, Milman noted. It's obviously the must-go event in the healthcare industry calendar. Notwithstanding the lack of big deals unveiled at the event, the forecast is sunny for the M&A and capital markets business coming off the heels of a strong 2025. And yesterday, Boston Scientific unveiled a $15 billion deal. 2026 is, for now, shaping up to be the year the industry is all in on obesity, and large-cap pharma keeps investing heavily in pipelines. The conference is one giant business development meeting, with the mood music being decidedly upbeat. There were, as always, tons of parties and events, and many flocked to the Latham party at the August Hall and the Goodwin party at the Press Club. On Tuesday, Dentons hosted a wine tasting at the San Francisco Wine Society. The JPM Confab is arguably the marquee conference for the city, and the streets of San Francisco were clean, safe, and vibrant. There were city ambassadors walking around the Union Square neighborhood with signs saying "Welcome to San Francisco" and asking visitors if they need help. Never seen that before. The new mayor, Dan Lurie, is clearly working hard to make San Francisco great again. The consensus among Uber drivers is that he's doing a great job. For some of us, being in SF during the weekend of the passing of legendary Grateful Dead rhythm guitarist and co-founder Bob Weir was poignant. We visited Haight-Ashbury, the Dead's founding neighborhood, which still has a hippy-dippy vibe, stopped in the Counterculture Museum, and joined the many, including Mayor Lurie, who were there to pay respects to Bob. We leave you with one of Bob's most influential songs, Sugar Magnolia, recorded down the road at Stanford University in 1973. You could hear Jerry Garcia say, "It's their new single, Fare Thee Well." In activism news, Reuters reports that Engine Capital is preparing to nominate a slate of four new director nominees to software maker Blackline's board, as it urges the company to consider a possible sale. Financial Times says that Palliser Capital's recent stake in the Japan Post showcases the overall shift in activist strategies in Japan, with funds utilizing bigger and more aggressive tactics as a way to properly deploy capital in the country. Financial Times also reports that in an ongoing saga, European gunmaker Beretta Holding has fired the first shot of 2026 against rival Sturm Ruger, with the FT noting that Beretta has reportedly engaged advisors and is preparing to mount a proxy fight. In deals news this week, in JP Morgan's 2026 Global M&A Annual Outlook, Anu Iyengar, JPM's global head of advisory and M&A, reflects on the past year's market momentum, describing 2025 as one of the most turbulent years of the past decade. Iyengar highlights forces driving M&A from geopolitical and regulatory shifts to innovative deal-making strategies, predicting that similar themes will continue to fuel the market in 2026. In the latest chess moves in the Warner Bros. Discovery M&A saga, the stakes have been raised in the battle for Warner Bros. Discovery, with CNBC reporting that Paramount Skydance is filing a lawsuit in Delaware, which on Thursday the WSJ reported that the judge denied Paramount's information request and motion to expedite, and announcing it plans to launch a proxy contest against WBD after its latest bid was rejected. Meanwhile, Bloomberg reported that Netflix is considering amending its WBD bid to be an all-cash offer, which would likely shorten the proposed deal timeline. On to corporate governance. SEC Chairman Paul Atkins has launched a review of Regulation SK aimed at streamlining corporate disclosure requirements and reducing filings that may overwhelm investors with immaterial information. Lawrence Cunningham, professor of law at the University of Delaware, examines the shareholder proposal process under SEC Rule 14a-8, finding that it operates primarily through pre-vote screening and withdrawal rather than shareholder voting, with most proposals never reaching a vote and few achieving majority support when they do. In the land of public offerings, the New York Times reports that 2026 may be the year of the mega IPO. Tech IPOs are on the horizon, with Anthropic, OpenAI, and SpaceX rumored to have taken early steps to go public. Industry experts predict unprecedented deal valuations and a flurry of activity among public market investors. According to Reuters, Honeywell plans to carve out quantum computing unit Quantinuum via IPO. The unit is valued at $10 billion and follows Honeywell breaking into three separate companies specializing in automation, aerospace, and advanced materials last year. From our desk to yours, we enjoyed the full range of wine bars and restaurants in San Francisco, one of the country's great restaurant cities, and that doesn't count the amazing scene in Oakland and Berkeley. First stop was the revived Verjuice, one of the city's top wine bars, with a great chef and menu. We enjoyed a late-night omelette with white truffles and a Paul Preux Pet Nat from the Loire. Next up was a new place that just opened in the historic Ferry Building called Arcay. Think local Sonoma farms produced cooked on a wood-burning hearth. We had the Delicata squash with King Trumpet Frito, amazing scallion fry bread with buffalo ricotta, grilled figs and salsa matcha. Then we shared the California trout and duck brulee with quince on toast. All went well with Sonoma Coast Chardonnay. We snuck away from the conference to be a tourist for lunch and take advantage of the opening of Dungeness crab season to crack open fresh crab on Fisherman's Wharf. The pièce de résistance of the trip was a new restaurant called Wolfsbane in Dogpatch, a neighborhood that had been an industrial part of town that now has AI startups as well as residential buildings think Soho 40 years ago. Admittedly, Wolfsbane will set you back a few hundred dollars, but for the 10-course tasting menu, it was worth it. For the white, we had a Chenin Blanc from Saumur's Domaine du Collier, and for the reds from Côte Rôtie, a Domaine Jean-Michel Stéphane. In People Moves, Dina Powell McCormick will join Meta Platforms as president and vice chairman to guide strategy on Meta's AI infrastructure strategy. UBS CEO Sergio Ermotti will step down in April 2027 as the bank continues its fight against the Swiss government on tightening capital requirements. Heineken CEO Dolf van den Brink will step down from the role 6 years into his tenure. Cindy Leggett Flynn was named Group Head of Communications Officer at the Swiss bank Julius Baer Group. Cindy most recently led communications at Credit Suisse. In upcoming events, January 19th to 23rd, World Economic Forum, Davos, Switzerland, January 28th, Bloomberg Deals TV show launch, New York, January 30th, Skytop shareholder, Activism Summit, New York, February 2nd to 3rd, WSJ Invest Live, West Palm Beach, Florida, March 19th to 20th, Tulane Corporate Law Institute, New Orleans, Louisiana.